We just pause, Lord, to recognize and be reminded that where two or more gathered, you are here. And so we gather in the presence of the living God because of you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, will you continue to do all you want to do today? Lord, may you fill us with a spirit of gratitude that we can't help but to share our story of who you are and the good things that you've done. And that you will fill the chasms in our lives with gratitude. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. There are moments in life that happen that have a lot more meaning than we anticipate. They've got meaning just baked into those moments. It's as if that when we crack them open, we get a glimpse of the supernatural and we get a glimpse of the subterranean of what's going on deep inside us. The Celts called this thin spaces. That we'd have thin space moments where we encounter something more than is going on. I had one of these moments this week. I don't know about you, but heading into Thanksgiving Day felt like flying into DIA during a windstorm. Lots of turbulence and just glad you made it. But that was what it was like for me, is it's been a long season and there's been a lot of things that have happened, and finally got to Thanksgiving Day and it was exciting, and we went over to Gabe and Shelby Kinsley's house, which we have done so many times. And as we go in, you're greeted by Finn, who almost knocked you over. That's their dog, not a child. And then we are hanging out. Some are watching TV, some are having fun. And then it's time to say grace, and we gather around their big island. And all the family members are there holding hands, and we're gathered around the feast that's in front of us. And the Reverend Gabriel Kinsley begins to pray. And he thanks God for what's going on. And he thanks God for everybody that's in the room. And then he pauses and begins to bless and thanks God, thank God for those who aren't in the room. And this was a thin space. Because in the presence of people that I absolutely love as I'm holding hands, there was this recognition that there were people not in the room that I absolutely love. My daughter was not there. But my other daughter, Grace, was. Ethan was in Cambodia. Jackson and Gabby were there. Aiden and Joy weren't there, and we had spent so many Thanksgivings together. But Dave Harbison was there wearing the same green sweatshirt he does every year. So everything was right in the world. But in this thin space, in this moment, what I began to feel was two things began to happen. There was the absence of some and the presence of others. There was this awareness of that which had been was no longer. And that which was to become had begun. And it began in that moment as we're around this table with the beautiful feast there, the chasm, like the earth began to just open up underneath me, and I feel myself straddling absence. These jeans are pretty tight, so I'm not gonna straddle anymore. Especially after Thanksgiving, they were baggy, but now they're not. And presence, absence and presence. That which was, and that which is, and will be. And this chasm is one, and I am one who thinks too much. And I get stuck in my head, and I found myself falling into that hole, focusing on what wasn't, instead of what was. And then, two Hebrew poets came to the rescue. And they offered me a bridge between what was and what is, the absence and the presence. And the bridge is gratitude. These two Hebrew poets, Abraham Heschel from the 20th century and King David from ancient Israel, they came to my rescue and began to give me something to stand on as I live between absence and presence, what was and what is. Abraham Heschel said these words, and he spoke right to my heart as I feel living in this strange new season. And he says, "How strange we are in the world. How presumptuous our doings. Only one response can maintain us, gratefulness. Gratefulness for witnessing the wonder, for the gift of our unearned right to serve, to adore, and to fulfill." Listen to this. It is gratefulness that makes a heart and soul great. He then waxes poetically and says, how good it is to wrap oneself in prayer, spinning a deep softness of gratitude to God around all our thoughts, enveloping oneself in the silken veil of a song. The idea that life is to be wrapped, all of our thoughts get wrapped up in gratitude. And that gratitude bridges the gap between absence and presence, between what was and what is. And then the psalmist David comes in strong in Psalm 118, and he says, as he rouses his friends, as he calls us to action, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Then he wrote this right to me. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. In Hebrew poetry, repeating something is for emphasis. And what the psalmist is wanting to do is say, give thanks. And recognize why you give thanks is because of the nature and the character of God. The beginning of gratitude is recognition of the goodness and the love of God. Gratitude begins with recognition at who he is and how he is. And it takes us away from the situations that we're in. And then the psalmist goes on again, and he shifts gears, and he shows us that gratitude begins with recognition, but that gratitude is fueled by remembering. In verse 5, Psalm 118, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and he set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord, to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surround me, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me, surrounded on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was following, but the Lord has helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Gratitude is the bridge between what was and what is, what we wish and what is reality, between absence and presence. And the psalmist offers us to say, recognize that the reason for your gratitude, the reason for my gratitude, is that he's good and his love endures forever. And then he challenges us to remember. Today, in this thin space, I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And I've seen and I've read and I've watched it in others' lives that his love endures forever. Amen. And now it is my absolute honor and privilege to introduce you to someone that I am incredibly grateful for and that inspires me. One of our pastors here, Natalie.
Good morning, everyone. So, as Aaron said, my name is Natalie. I'm the pastor of Groups and Connection here. And my journey with gratitude has been honestly a little frustrating because it's hard to practice gratitude in times when life is difficult. I wish I could get up here and say that I've always been grateful and I've always found things to be thankful, but sometimes life is really, really hard. And remembering and recognizing are tools that I have used over and over and over again in my own life. But a few years ago, I incorporated something new that I would like to present to you this morning. and as a tool to help practice gratitude in those hard times. Resist and rejoice. I know the resist part sounds really, really weird when you're talking about gratitude, because what are we resisting? It sounds weird, but stay with me, and I hope that this all makes sense here in a minute, okay? The passage that Aaron was talking about in Psalm 118, something really interesting happens. In verse 22, David moves from talking in me, I language to we, us language. And it's this really beautiful idea that David's personal thanksgiving, his personal gratitude, became communal when he shared it with other people. And then I was reminded about a couple of verses in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us that when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer with it. But when one member of the body is honored, we all rejoice with it. And then in Romans chapter 12, he makes it really plain, really simple, one of these quick little sayings of Paul: rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I gotta tell you, I'm really good at weeping with those who weep. If you come to me and you tell me your story, if you start crying, I will start crying. That is how I'm wired. That's how I'm built. I can't help it. God's given me like a bleeding heart for people in pain. But the rejoice with those who rejoice has been sticky for me. It's been hard. There have been seasons in my life where the pain of infertility was too much to bear. I couldn't get on social media on Mother's Day. I wanted to be so happy for all these people that I loved that were sharing all of their wonderful Mother's Day pictures, but I was in so much pain. It's hard. And I wish I could say I was more mature and that it was great, but it wasn't. I spent a lot of time stuck in jealousy and comparison. But then something shifted for me, and I don't remember when this happened. It was a slow progression of this idea of gratitude and joy that God, this journey God took me through. But he started to show me that if I could trust him to hold my pain, that I would then be free to engage with other people's joy, and that I would feel that joy, that I would actually feel it for myself. Even when I was experiencing pain and disappointment in my own life, it's kind of like joy osmosis. I know that's not really how osmosis works, but that's the best way I can think about it. You get joy by being next to somebody who has joy. And so with his help, what I started doing is I started making an active choice to resist jealousy and comparison. And then I was able to be in the moment with somebody when something amazing was happening. And then I could rejoice with them, truly rejoice with them, and then I would feel that joy and gratitude. Even when my life was hard and difficult, I could still feel it. So I'm resisting jealousy and comparison. I'm choosing to rejoice. And in turn, God is giving me joy and celebration. And I gotta tell you, that is a really, really good trade. And I've had a lot of chances to practice. God and I are still working out why I get so many chances to practice this, but I do. I have a lot of trouble, a lot of chances to practice. But when I've struggled to find gratitude in my own life, I have been able to ride on the coattails of your joy. People in this room, your stories, your successes, your triumphs, the good things that God has done in your life, it matters. It matters when we hear it from each other. And even better, when my life has been filled with joy, I still get to have some of your joy. It's a win-win-win. That was an Office reference because I can't help myself. I can't get up here and not make some random movie or TV show quote. That's just how this works. Now, the tricky part about this is that for us to be able to practice this, we have to be in community. And lucky for us, we all came here together at one time in one place. So we get to be in community this morning. We get to practice. We get to actually practice recognizing, remembering, resisting, and rejoicing. We get to practice this in a minute because it's going to be your turn to come and share what God's done in your life. And this is what we're asking. If you have something that God has done in your life this past year, you can line up just on the sides. You do have to come up on stage. I know that's really, it's very scary, but it's okay. We'll be sitting here awkwardly behind you. So you can line up on either side, and we're going to take turns. And for those of you who have something to share, please share it, because we get to have some of your joy. You get to share it with us, and it's encouraging for us. And if you're in this room and you're struggling, that's okay too. If Thanksgiving came and went and you just want to get through the holidays, I get that. We get that. But what I'm humbly asking you to try is to ask God to hold whatever he needs to hold. Pain, anger, bitterness. Ask him to hold it for you just for this minute. And listen to these stories of gratitude and thankfulness and joy. And receive it for yourself. And we don't want to dismiss pain. We don't, because we weep with those who weep. And so during our last song, as every Sunday, our prayer team is up here. And so if you want prayer this morning, come up and get prayer. Because we're not going to dismiss pain. We know it's there. We're just going to hold them in tension for a little bit. Now, selfishly, I'm going to ask my husband to start making his way up here because he gets to come up here. And selfishly, I want to share first, okay? Because I've shared a lot of suffering and pain throughout the years. And a lot of you know a lot of just what's going on in our lives in the crazy world of foster care and adoption and infertility and all those things. But can you put that little picture up for me? So, I didn't cry the whole time. Let's see if I can do it. So, after 3 years of trying to adopt that little tiny guy that I'm holding, November 17th, this was just like 10 days ago, we finalized his adoption. So if you need joy this morning, please take some of ours, because it was 3 hard years, and then 2 years prior to that, so 5 years, 3 years plus 2 years, 5 years, we got to adopt that little blonde, his big sister, and if you want to go back, way, way back, almost 13 years ago, we got to have the tall one back there. God has been good, and he has been faithful. And so we wanted to share our joy with you that we got to take this little guy home as a Magookan with us on that Friday night. You want to share anything? Okay.
There are a few things to be thankful for. Specifically, Natalie mentioned the community that we get the joy of walking alongside of through this journey over 5 years in foster care. And there's a lot there that we could not hold on our own. Injustice makes me angry. And there was a lot of anger that a lot of people shared and carried alongside of me, and disappointment and frustration. And as we entered the courtroom and then the party at our house afterwards, there was almost not enough space for all the people that walked alongside of us. And we could not have done this journey without the community of people, many of which were here in Cornerstone. The other thing that I'm particularly grateful for is there's no logical answer why all 3 of our kids are perfectly healthy. Our son was born without his kidneys functioning. both of our younger kiddos, the conditions through which they joined our family were pretty dire and were pretty touch and go. And them being perfectly healthy is nowhere near a given. And these are things that we prayed for, that God would heal their little bodies and their minds. And they're great. And we are eternally grateful for the way that God has upheld us, because we couldn't have done it through our own, how he has sent people into our lives, many from this community, to walk alongside of us, to hold us up when we could not hold ourselves up, and to sit with us through pain, through frustration, through anger, but also be very present and celebrate alongside of us through that joy. So thank you all.
Okay, it's your turn now. You get to start coming up. You gotta do it. We're just gonna stand up here awkwardly. Oh, he's getting a mic too.
Just in case.
Oh, okay.
It's all your fault, Natalie. Oh, okay. I suffered infertility and never had children. And when I was 5 years old, I wanted to have 10, and I still want to have 10. But when I was dealing with and working through it with the Lord, now this has happened last week and this year and my whole life. But so God, one day, and there was jealousy and there was envy, you know. But one day the Lord said, well, I'll share my kids with you. Changed my whole mindset. Now, when I get before someone that is hurting or joyful or whatever, I'm there like a mom, you know? I mean, they're my sole interest at that moment. And it's great to be able to love the body, especially you guys. You just rock. And the good and the bad, you're just there, and you really work hard to help this community be better. And we love loving you. And so that's what I get to do.
Hi, my name's Mary. Every year I say I'm not going to get up and say anything this year. And every year the Holy Spirit's like, oh, yes, you are. So don't be surprised. Here I am again. But my connection to what Natalie was talking about was community. So we missed last week. We were out of town. And we're getting ready for church. And I just have this joy in my heart that I get to see friends that I've known for 20 years who have walked with me through very, very hard and very wonderful times, or plus, I think 20 plus. And then sometimes I'm standing out in the foyer and I'm thinking, who are all these people? I sometimes look around, I don't know anybody, which is kind of awesome. So we have this community of, you know, 20 plus years, plus just tons of new people coming, and all the like little babies and little children running around, which is so beautiful. I'm a therapist, some of you know that, and the other part about community is just as I walk along with people, when that is missing, they are not joyful. And I can't tell you how many times I've encouraged people, you know, go to church. If you can't go to church, or for some reason, I had a client in another state actually, and had some pain in the church, but she was all alone. She had a horrible breakup. I said, you have to find community. So she went to Zumba. Zumba is now her life. And her friends have invited her to their homes. She's now started playing coaching basketball with some of the Zumba people. So anyway, my point is that this community is awesome. And the Heart and Soul Project, which we've mentioned, they've mentioned many times, we are doing this because we are an awesome community. We can bless each other, and we can bless others. So I'm super, super grateful to be here. Thank you.
Good testimony. I'm Deborah Heitman. This is my husband, David. And I don't know, we've been going here about 6 years. And anyway, the last 2 years are probably the toughest of my whole life with my health and relationship difficulties, and then the Israeli war was so hard, and my husband being Jewish, and so it's just, it's been really tough. And yet God has been so good through it all. And I look back, and he prepared the way in ways I just never imagined, and one of them was bringing Dr. Berngard that goes here and as my pulmonologist, and he saved my life. And he showed up in flip-flops one day when we were meeting outside, and he said, "Hey, I'm your doctor." I said, "Oh, Dr. Berngard, I didn't even know you went here." And just how God is so good about that, and the prayer team, and Quinn praying and coming over to my house time and time again. And but I especially want to just thank my dear husband. He just kept me literally out of a nursing home and just with me every step of the way. I just, that's all I can say.
I guess it was two years ago this week, we were in the hospital hanging out with Dr. Berngard. And I'll tell one other crazy story. So we're sitting up in the lobby. Every once in a while, you have those Sundays where you just want to keep low profile, stay out of line of sight. So the balcony is really great for that. But eventually, you might come down. But anyway, we're up there kind of hiding out one Sunday. And in walks another doctor who saved my life, Brad Anderson, who goes here as well. So
it's we good, need a lot of
it's
help.
A good place to be sick if you have to, because you find life-saving medical help. But in all seriousness, this health issue or crisis that Debbie had was just I'm a cancer survivor, and my journey looked like a piece of cake compared to hers. So when you're out sick, it can be very isolating. You're very much alone, or you feel that way. And then there's that handful of people that break through that isolation and come through for you. And I'm looking at one today, Mary Murray. And I thank you also for the handful of others that reached out to us, past that uncomfortable zone of, "Are you okay? Do you need anything? Can we drop by and visit?" And that awkwardness sometimes that you have to just overcome to make that connection. And I just would encourage everybody to do that. If you see somebody kind of slipping out of sight, there's a reason, and they probably need you. And I'm just so grateful for those people that crossed that barrier to join us. And the other thing I'm just so thankful for is Debbie's faithfulness to God. I don't care what kind of day she was having, what kind of pain she was in. She was reading her Bible, praying, little dog in her lap. This has been going on steadily for a long, long time, and your example has just blown us, my children, and me away, and those that know you. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Glad to be alive. Glad my wife's alive.
It's also okay to come and just kind of stand and wait as well if you want to have a turn.
So I wasn't going to share, but then Natalie said movie reference. And then I had to come up and say a movie reference because apparently all of Gabe's kids were born on like the first Thursday of every month. And I go, and Gabe and I were talking one day, and he goes, "Oh, so what are the chances of that happening?" It's like, 1 in a million. So you're saying there's a chance. So that's why I'm just thankful that I can't beat cancer, but I did beat it being in a coma for 66 days. So I don't know. I guess I'm thankful that I survived that and that I discovered this church. This was back when Gene was preaching and singing, so I've been here for a while. And yeah, laugh away. I'm an oldie. So I'm just thankful for that, and I'm just thankful to be alive because, I mean, I sleep through the night, and I just have a bunch of joy. So, yep.
Hi, guys. My name is Peter. I wanted to come up and share because I'm thankful because God has been pursuing me this year. I became a Christian 8 years ago as a sophomore in college, and it was honestly just a logical decision. I was like, this makes sense. I'm going to do this. And since then, my faith has been really, really shallow. It's been, you know, by proclamation only. And this year, from the start to the end, a consistent theme that I've been feeling is God just pursuing my heart, you know? I keep thinking about Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God's just been telling me, hey, give me your heart. Give me your heart, you know? I've been realizing how many things I put above my faith, how many things I put above God, and how pointless those things are. And God's been slowly chipping away at the walls around my heart, those things that I put in front of him, having me let go of them and just deepening my faith. I'm a dad. Me and my wife have a kid named Finn. He's almost 2 years old. And I've been thinking for his whole life, like, how am I going to teach this child about God when my faith is so shallow? How am I going to raise a child that loves Jesus when I feel like I barely do myself? And I'm so thankful that God has been working in my heart this year because now I finally feel like I have something to share with my son. I finally feel like I'm the type of man that I want to be in order to raise a child that loves Jesus. And I don't feel worthy because I who feels worthy of God pursuing them? You know, that's such an amazing thing to feel. And through that, I've started pursuing God as well and just realizing that that's where true meaning comes from. That's something I've wrestled a lot with in my life. Just where does meaning come from? Where does fulfillment come from? And God's just been saying, give me your heart, you know, come to me. And that's where you'll find it. So super grateful for that and super grateful to see what my faith is going to look like as I start pursuing God as well.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I'm a PhD student here at CU Boulder, and this is my last semester, and I just want to give all the glory to God. Yes, thank you. Because there was just so many deadlines coming up with my defense and turning in my thesis, and just through this whole process, I've had this overwhelming sense of peace. And just been able to just revel in it and, yeah, just kind of glide through to the finish line. And that is definitely not for me. That is all from God. And, yeah, I'm just so grateful that to just be in his presence in this way. So, and thank you to this community. That has been so supportive to me over this whole journey here in Boulder and just providing this place to be in community and to worship God and to learn so much more about prayer and, yeah, about God's character. So thank you guys as well.
My name is Wilson, and my wife and I have been attending here for about 8 years. And I'm so glad and thankful for the Heart and Soul Project. It has deepened my understanding of who I am as a Christian, as a human. And I just would like to share a little bit about that. To show you how I've grown through these past couple of months, especially the sermon that we had on salt and light. So I spent most of my life in the corporate world. I worked for a high-tech company, and the most desirable jobs in my company were the ones that would make big differences for our customers, that would help our customers. And when a new technology would come along, people were knocking at the door, employees, because they wanted to work on that project. And so that was really the goal, to work on, and in the company where I worked, is to work on the projects that were going to make the biggest difference to our customers. And I got to work on many of those. And I'm thankful that I did. But then I come here and hear this message about heart and soul and about salt and light. And what it showed me was that the way I had been living, wanting to work on these projects that would make big differences for our customers, that I had to compete for and other people had to compete for, and there were a limited number of these positions. And so you had to work hard if you wanted to work on the best projects. And I come here, and what I learn is that Jesus offers me a job. I don't have to go compete to be salt and light to this world. Jesus pursues me and picks me. He picks us. And I'm so thankful that he did. Because to live in a community like this where I don't have to compete, to live in a community like this where my goal, my job, is to make life better for those around me, to me is pretty awesome. And it's something I'm really thankful for, to have that depth of understanding that's made a big difference to me. And so salt and light to preserve the world, that's what I learned that salt is. And so that's my job. That's what Jesus has asked me to do, to help preserve those around. And we've heard many stories this morning about preserving those that need help. And to be a light, to show people a better way to bring his kingdom here to this earth. Wow, why would God pick me? I have no idea, but I'm so thankful that he did.
Thank you. We're going to invite the band to begin to make their way up. We got time for how many more, Natalie? One more.
Any takers? Yay! He's the band. Oh, no, Darcy. No, Darcy, you don't get out of it now.
Who's in the band and who's the testimony?
I'm Darcy. And I've been going here, I don't know, nobody can figure that out. It's been probably 10 years or more. It's been a really hard year for me. Lots of changes. I've always said that COVID never impacted me because I already work from home. And so the only thing I couldn't do is go to the gym or go to church. And I got involved in a situation with a gentleman, and I ended up suffering from severe anxiety, where I shook all the time, and I couldn't be at home because I didn't want to be there. I didn't know what to do with myself. And I kept praying, you know, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And Joyce helped me, so heart and soul, totally in. And I'm praying, and I realize I don't have any friends because they'd all moved away. And I didn't realize it because I'm always at home. I'm online all the time. I talk to them constantly. But then I look around when I need help, and I'm like, there's no one here. And Cindy Bredehoft, she asked me, she invited me randomly, not random, God, to go to her old ladies' life group. And because they're all much older than me. But they were such a lifeline. And then two other women, Cindy and Karen Travis, then they surrounded me, and Mary and Greg, and Stephen Charter. They, like, sucked me into going to their life group.
And so all of a sudden, I was not alone anymore. And all of a sudden, I realized, God, the body's all around me. And I know you guys are going to think I'm weird, but I thought about getting a tattoo of Christ's hand in my right hand. And then I realized I'm 50, and it's probably not a good idea. But I do work from home, so it's not like it would be an issue with my job. But I got rebaptized this spring because of everything that I've gone through. I wanted the spirit world to know that, guess what, I'm still here. And I still love God, and he still loves me, and he is going to love me, and I'm going to love him for the rest of my life and even through eternity. And I can't wait until I get to spend every day with him. And yeah, that's about it. Thanks.
We're going to move into worship, but I just want us to pray right now. Lord, thank you so much for every individual that shared stories here, Lord, and also for those stories that weren't shared today, the stories that are on our hearts and that are our minds. We are grateful. We just bless you, Lord, for who you are and all that you do. Lord, may we be a people who are grateful. That we allow that to be our response to your generosity and to all seasons of life, that we step into it with gratitude, recognizing who you are, remembering what you've done, resisting jealousy and comparison, and rejoicing in your goodness in our lives and the lives of others. We praise you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen.